This is the Finance Committee meeting for July 10th. 10 minutes late at 10:07. I am John Merchant. I am...
Let me get it up.
What's that?
Keep going. I have to just...
I am the committee member. Item one is the call to order. We just did that. Richard, do you have any initial comments? Okay, there's no comments from the public. Information item, item three, the finance report. Cecilia.
Right, waiting for her to...
Okay.
Okay.
Can you go all the way up?
Do you want... Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, sorry.
Want to start talking with the audits first?
Yes.
We're just going a little out of order then on the agenda items. This is item number four.
Okay.
The audit update.
Do you mind if you expand it a little bit? Zoom in a little bit?
Oh, I can zoom in.
Totally cannot see.
Do you have the packet there, Cecilia?
I do, but...
Okay.
Okay,
it's
so...
It's tiny, I'm sorry.
Audit 21-22. The audit field work testing is now at 97%. We're really at the end now. And we have two more steps to finish, then the auditors can go back and now revise all their work paper. And they gave me an estimation of the first draft we would review should be the first week of August. Now, this is a little bit 2 weeks delay from my initial estimations. And because we have encountered numerous challenges in the past 5 to 6 weeks. So for example, in A, bang rec now is adjusted by $525K, and this is a prior period adjustment, meaning the problem was caused by last year audit. And then B, there's an overstatement of expenses of $263, and this is again also an adjustment that will be made to the prior period. C, fixed asset when I took over was not really completed. We've adjusted fixed asset depreciation gain or loss in total about $1 million. And D, 21-22 accounting data was migrated to a new database, so it's causing a lot of confusion when we have to do research about the current year accounting. We have to flip between the two databases to look at what is real. And the next one is developer fee. We've never really recognized the fixed asset inside and also the revenue associated with development fee. So that took us a lot of time to adjust, and fixed asset was then adjusted for 883. Fire hydrant, and this is, I'm on G now. Fire hydrant meter have not been read for several years and added to the June meter workflow to capture the revenue and needed rework. We've adjusted down that meter deposit by $33,000. H, accounts payable aging report were also overstated by $263. That's the amount that we adjusted. I, the last one, water treatment plan, loan balance between the sewage and water fund was understated by $78,000. In the past years, since 2014, the residents collection only applied to the principal balance. But according to the board resolution 2014-10, section 2, interest should be paid back between the two funds. So I've now increased the loan balance by $67K. Overall, the loan will be paid off in fiscal 25-26. Now, because of these adjustments, of course, both sides, me and the auditor, were all delayed. They told me that now I have to rework all the work papers. So here's the adjusted due date for your first draft will be the first week of August. Now, because of the amount of adjustment and rework since we submitted the first audit set of books, the audit report will most likely have material weaknesses in internal control. So I would be surprised if they don't give us one. So that's the fiscal 21-22. We're almost done.
Okay.
Now let's get to audit 22 and 23 and 23-24. The audit progress has been slow as I pull all my RH consultant to assist with the 21-22 audits for the past 6 weeks. And at the same time, we've also started to, we want to use Great Plains for bank rec, which is one of the basic requirements in monthly closing. So now we're uploading all the data in an acceptable format to Great Plains, and it's a new process for the staff. So it's a challenge to bring 2 years of data into the system in the format that it's required inside Great Plains. But we've been working on it since, you know, 4 weeks ago. So there's been some movement in the interim audit preparation line, but not a lot. So this one, we're projecting to start really this week to bring all those data in. This week or next week, depends on how well that testing is done. Audit 24-25. And so a new consultant started, but I pull her in to help 21 and 22 audit since last week. So now she's starting to do 24-25 re-inputting from March to June's accounting data in the system. That's where we at. Any questions?
Just that since Cecilia has been here, we've met no less than on a weekly basis and no less than for several hours. The difference here is, you know, while not acceptable, is the reality of when we first got into this, we had concerns on the first audit that we're getting ready to complete, that our audit personnel were sitting there waiting for delivery of data so that they could act. And had we not engaged vigorously to provide it, and that's your items A through F there, they were preparing to move on to somebody else's audit. And the actual explanation of the delays is something that we never were really used to. We were used to an explanation that, oh, well, you got to understand, we had to rebuild an entire accounting system. And my first concern came when I asked him if he had enough help to do that. And she gave me a 15-minute explanation of why we didn't need that help, and he gave me a 2-minute answer as to, yes, we do. And we hired the first two, and we've subsequently hired a third, okay? And we need all three of those people just to stay on a schedule that continues to be a moving target, because every time we engage the data with the auditors, they have more questions, we come back and we have to reconcile those. Mm. So the target continues to move, but, and Cecilia can comment on this or correct me, what should begin to happen as we move past this first audit is that some of this, okay, will be reconciled and will not present the same problems. If we get our daily reconciliations to a point where they're acceptable in this audit, we will be doing them in a way that they will be acceptable in the next two. Okay, mm-hmm. So are we making progress? Yes. Is the progress slower than we've been told consistently for months and months and months? Yes. But we're continuing to report on a monthly basis why the dates are what they are and what's impacting those. And we're That's what we can do. Okay? So let's deal with the realities of it, and we'll take the lumps for it, but we weren't told that these specific problems, and I'm not even sure we even knew they were specific problems until Cecilia got here, but we had a rolling explanation that didn't change very much, and we're not doing that anymore. So
may I ask a question?
If you come to the podium. And I do have another public comment, would you?
Yeah. Let me do Richard, and then I'll do you. How's that?
Well, no, because my question is related to, can I have a question?
I think you can,
because
there's only one of me here.
Board member.
Okay, then,
yes.
Then I will fill out a form.
You don't have, it's okay. I know you want to ask a question. Let's go with Richard first, so I can take him in the order received.
That's fine.
If it's time for public comment.
Yeah, okay. I think so.
Okay, my forte isn't accounting. I'm aware of the shortcomings of the accounting here in the past.
Please speak into the
But I read this memo, and I saw the comments, or the comments on audit for 2021-22, and quite frankly, I was pretty shocked. Like I say, accounting isn't my forte, and I'm wondering, is this just more of the same, or is this taking it to a new level? I'm seeing some of those numbers in there, $1 million, $500,000. I mean, like I say,
you're shocked.
Pardon me?
You're shocked to
yeah,
see.
Yeah, and that's a legitimate.
I have to say, when I reconcile A to I, it was, I'm shocked too.
Yeah. I mean, it's not just more of the same that we saw before. It's taking it to a new level, it seems like.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even my staff working on it, they were having a hard time because inside the system, it's a confusion.
Yeah.
There's past year data, new data, and what Pun Group did was also confusing. So we have to kind of navigate between muddy water to find out what's the real thing.
Yeah.
So I say when I looked at Pun Group's work, they were already treading in muddy water. So it's confusing the way they were looking at things because the system information is a mess.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't blame that they're looking at things that is wrong. The system process is also not set up correctly.
Yeah.
So when it's given to them and given to Mark, they have to try their best to come up with what it is. But here, I felt like, based on what John is saying, after I clean out this, the next few years will be easy.
Yeah.
Because well, you know what to do now, you know.
Yeah. So. Personally, I'm not too concerned about the schedule, but what is the significance of, you know, being off by $1 million? What does that mean?
It's significant to start with, where you look at the audit that was completed by Poon, and you look back one audit where you start to get into Larry Bain and you know, Larry Bain, our initial auditor that was here for several years and worked with and I'm losing track of the names anymore with our past controller and subsequent past general manager. There were a lot of conditions in there that he identified that were warning signs that we were not paying attention to. Can you explain though? Okay, that you know there are reconciliations in here that we're doing with numbers of this size. It's not an indication that we lost $1 million.
Okay. Well, that was one of my questions.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm way ahead of you because I have 4 semesters of accounting.
Okay.
Okay. So
I actually have one.
Yeah. So you know, I have some idea, vague idea of where to start with. Okay, and we did this. We've been doing this for a month and we've been doing it for hours. Okay, explain to me the impact of not doing a daily balance reconciliation, which we have not done since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
I don't even know how far back it goes. And so you get these out of balance accounts that justifiably so need to be reconciled and presented to the auditors before they will accept this. But I want to make it clear that there's not $1 million floating around out there that we can't find. Mm-hmm. That's not
right.
What we're doing here.
Right.
So basically where we're at right now is CSD financially, this isn't really changing the financial status today as
yeah, are we going to wake up at the end of this audit and then move into the subsequent audits saying what we've been telling you folks for the past 5 years is inaccurate? We really don't have this amount of money. I mean, you're going to see. I correct me, believe me, with because you have more than 4 semesters. you're going to see a reconciled and audited financial statement for the first year, okay? And that will tell you what it tells you, but it will not tell you that there are lots of dollars floating around, that actual dollar bills that we can't find. But we will once, and we've been hanging our hat on two things here. Number one, that when we get this first audit finished, okay, that we will
21-22.
Yeah, yep. we will have systems in place that Cecilia is implementing now that are going to make it easier as we go forward. And we're going forward
with next audits.
Yes, the next two, because we're talking to them continually now about the ability to conduct two audits at the same time. And then once we get through those two audits, we're going to move into year to date, okay, where we are accounting for most of this input properly, so that while we won't even be at a point where we're ready to do that audit, because the year won't hopefully be over, we should be pretty well moving along. The other thing we've made a decision to do that wasn't being done in the last administration, if you want to call it that, is we're dumping this stuff into Great Plains.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there was all this, well, we don't want to do that, and the questions that come out of that are multiple. Number one is, if we don't dump it into a real system and we get to the new system, which we've postponed, how do we get that data into the new system? Do we get it off Mark's Excel spreadsheet, or do we get it off a former system that's fully integrated? And Great Plains is painful, but we're talking to Great Plains and we're learning how to use the system, and we're going to put this data in there and we'll just go from there.
And I understand we finally have an employee from Robert Half who has experience with Great Plains.
We found someone else on earth that actually knows how to
operate. The new consultant actually used Great Plains in the past job, so she knows a lot more than us, and she's giving us very good input, especially AP, how AP is processed, because I reconcile the AP aging, right? There were a lot of transaction in there from since whatever time, 10 years ago, that it's not useful, but it's sitting there because somebody input things incorrectly using the wrong button, didn't, you know, use it correctly. So once she's kind of done with 24-25, I'll have her sit down with our front desk and go, this is how you should be processing AP. Mm-hmm. This is how you use AR, you know, so, and I'm already in my later presentation in the business processes, I'm already having her set up bit and pieces of process that we can use starting July, if we could.
And I can't guarantee that we're not going to run into additional roadblocks that will slow us down. and I'm not going to guarantee that, but...
You're talking about slowing down, getting the other audits?
Slowing down the final dates that you're now looking at, okay?
Yeah, but that's not something I'm concerned about.
What I will promise you is that on a monthly basis, we're going to tell you exactly where we are.
Okay.
And we're going to tell you why we're there and what we've done in the previous month to reconcile the problems that we told you, like we're telling you here, A through I.
Yeah.
And right now that's all we can do. And I'm telling you that. I'm not telling you on a month-by-month basis.
Right.
You got to understand we got big problems. Well, does that mean we can close this by the fiscal end of the year, which was we're past? Well, maybe, but we're not doing that anymore. We're not. And like I said, it's not, you know, we should take the shots that are coming to us for doing that, what we did before, but we're not doing it anymore. I promise you that.
Okay. Okay. It's kind of interesting. I'd be interested in some more details about this stuff, but I don't think that's worthy of your time to do that.
If you find like a suitcase full of money in the parking lot, let us know.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. Are you ready for your next public comment, sir?
Yes.
Okay.
Who are you? Do you live here? Are you?
Do you live here?
I don't even know who I am anymore.
Your name for the record?
Linda Butler, Lot 080. I just had a few questions because I have no credits in accounting, not even 1 hour. In A, under 2122, it says one of the bank reconciliations was adjusted by $525,000. This is a prior adjustment. Does that mean it was a duplicate?
It was adjusted off in last year. And when you said duplicate, what do you mean by that?
Well, it says it was adjusted, but then it says this is a prior period adjustment.
Oh, so the problem is from prior fiscal year. It's not for this fiscal year.
Okay. And then I'm recalling a great deal of excitement over the fact that $263,000 was found. John, you're going to have to help me with this. By Mark and his group, and it was. I'm just curious as to whether this was a different $263,000.
It's different.
It's different.
Yeah, I think Mark found some money in AR utility billing and also developer fee receivable.
Okay.
But this is. When we do an audit, we look at this year expenses for a certain category to 2122,
okay.
Passing this, and we noticed that last year we spent 100% more than this year. So when we dug in to look at the journal entry, the adjustment, last year for the same category, we have $263,000 more expenses. So the prior year net income or net loss will be a different number now. So that's what the prior period adjustment is noted here, so that when you finally get your financial statement, you will see that there's a restatement of prior year record.
Okay. So. And then the last one is about the water treatment plant loan. Is what I'm hearing you say is that we were not counting interest or the need for interest to be included, and so the date that we thought we were going to be finished paying has been extended out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
But it will be pay off this fiscal year.
Yeah. We never, historically, we never lost sight of the fact that we were going to, and we did begin to accrue for interest. It you know, as a board, we knew that. And I was, you know, I wasn't on the board, but I was around, and I remember how we got that and how we decided to do that and everything else. But it never got booked.
Implemented.
It never got implemented to where we were ticking off the $6 for the actual principal, but we weren't accruing. And there was no, by law, we had to charge ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we had lots of discussions on funny money. Well, mm-hmm. yeah, we're charging ourselves for the interest. But what it really meant was the extent of the payback was a longer period of time than what we had been forecasting for a long time.
Okay.
And subsequently, you're capturing more money. You're mm-hmm. capturing the interest, and you're capturing it back into a fund that lost the benefit of that interest because we borrowed the money from them. Okay.
So when we talk about this at the board meeting, that would be good if you were able to also back up.
Yeah, we can do that, and that okay. that the mechanics of that even I can explain because I was around. I
okay.
understood it.
That's what I'm going for. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the, in the context of the reason we did this to begin with was it was, and the name that dropped out of my head was Darlene Gillum. Who actually figured out that it was vastly less expensive for the district to get the money by borrowing it from themselves than it was to get into the bond market and right. try and raise the money. Mm-hmm. And it was like $4.5 million of our contribution wow. matched by five-something million from the developers and letters of credit that all were lumped together to get us the $12 million, which wasn't enough, to build a water plant.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. One last quick comment. The she that you were referring to was our former, or our general manager.
Yes, right. She was both. But mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
No, not
at
Darlene.
The time, I can't even remember. I can't whether when we did this, she was either still the controller or she was the general manager. Maybe she was the general manager.
I'm talking about the request for more people.
She was Mimi. Yeah. That wasn't yeah. Darlene. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So, underneath the audit, did we put in here the letter to engage the?
The auditor for.
So we talked briefly about engaging Richardson and Company for
the 24-25 years.
24-25 year. It's
right.
going to be $32,000.
Yeah, and that needs that's an increase over the initial.
Right. We
contract.
Had a 5-year contract
yeah.
starting
right.
in 2019, and then it was like $26,000 per year for the 5 years. We were able to lock it in. Well, the 5 years is over, and we'd like to engage them again to do this current audit, 24-25, and the price is $32,000. I'd like
yeah,
to take
and that
to
needs
the board.
To go to the board, and that includes and is conditional on something I brought up initially that I think it's crazy not to keep them one more year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could. I don't want to explain this to somebody else.
Me too.
But it was conditional on them bringing another partner on board to oversee that.
Mm-hmm.
So while we haven't changed firms, we changed partners, and it will be a different set of eyes that looks at that audit. I had all kinds of problems when we kept going with Larry Bain, and I made those mm-hmm. in an open meeting, and we kept them another year, and then we turned it over, and it was when we turned it over that all hell broke loose.
To Richardson Company.
Yeah.
So and then an RFP will follow to engage a company for the next 5 years, starting with 25.
Yeah, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have that discussion about who we engage and how we engage them.
Okay, and Richardson came through an RFP, through the RFP
yeah.
process. Thank you. I will add that to the agenda
okay.
next week. Moving on.
Yeah.
The next, so then let's pop down to the finance report, which I have for your business process improvement. And then we'll come back to delinquent accounts, which
okay.
I have as another.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So while I'm making all these adjustments in the book, I've learned a lot, and I've identified issues and come up with recommendations. So The following pages are documentation of how I think we should improve our system. So the first one is developer deposit administration charge. I've identified the issues here. For the 21-22 audit, direct operation staff time was not consistently charged for all developer project, and we should be charging our direct staff like engineer or our utility staff when they go out and survey the area with developer. We should be charging their time. And in addition to that, we should be charging benefits, and I don't see that when I was doing the audits. We should also charge them administration charge, like utility, insurance, the front desk doing the invoice. I also don't see that. Now, we do have a developer deposit policy, and the contracts that we sign with the developer, they're not really identical. So the first screenshot that you see, which is the policy, it says costs and expenses shall include but not limited to cost of the consulting services, legal counsel, and district administration staff. But when you turn to the contract, which is the next screen, it says we are supposed to be reimbursed with district for the cost of the district staff time and material. It's not very clear as to what type of staff, and also it's not very clear how much. So if you turn to the next page, my recommendation is consider changing the contract term similar to the following format. Our operation staff should be charged at a fully loaded rate, which includes workers' comp, pension, and benefit rate. And the goal is to cover as much cost as possible. And this is usually a non-operating expense and non-operating revenue. And so it should not be part of the utility facility operation. So we want to make sure that all the costs are captured by using a fully loaded rate. Number two, administration costs should be assessed at a basic 10 or 15%. Administration costs, again, it's me, Amelia, front desk, utility, insurance. We worked on these stuff, and we should be reimbursed to by the developer. Now, the 10 to 15%, it's very flexible. We should calculate that at our annual budget time and just determine that this year will be administration costs that charge out to developers should be 10 or 15. So once we have our book in place, segregating operation revenue expenses and non-operating revenue expenses, we can come up with whether we should be reimbursed 10 to 15%.
Yeah.
So that should be clearly stated in the contract and policy so that there's no conflicts or misunderstanding when we're actually going in and charge the developer. And the developer will get a copy of, okay, these are the fee that we're getting charged,
right.
You know.
So we'll update that policy.
So staff involved with developer projects should also capture their time consistently in their timesheets. When I was working on the developer deposit, there might be like 20 projects at the time, and I don't see that consistently. Their time is booked to the different developer projects. Number four, all billing administration rate should be adjusted annually in the budget time and review.
There's a couple of things you can look at here. We should have learned a lot from the Sullivan Wars that we had over time to inspect, for example, when we were building, they were building the shopping center.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they went away for unfortunate reasons, but and I think that's an Eric thing, you know, to get Eric to clearly identify as a matter of policy what we do, when we go, do we charge time, do we charge if applicable the time it costs to get there, the time we need to remain on site, all of these things are inherent in that cost. And as far as when you look at this budget, we know what our house costs are. I mean, our administrative costs are what they are, and it's what we allocate back. Okay, after we do water, sewer, and drainage and security, the remaining amount of that is administration. And that's here, and that's what supports development, so the cost of that should really be consistent with the cost that we're charging to the developers to administer their project. Mm-hmm. And when we come up with those, we can look at how that syncs with what,
yeah,
you know, we know what it costs us on an individual rate per hour for people, but those are not all of our house charges.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
right.
When we're ready to present that.
Yeah, I think our financials should be split out between operation costs or revenue and non-operation, which is the developer
right.
stuff and others too.
Right.
So then we can kind of see, okay, how much does it cost to run the operation and how much does it cost to run the developer side? And that side should be zero because we get, you know, all the expenses recovered by them. So if we have two sets of financial statement, we can clearly see, okay, are we getting our costs reimbursed fully by the developer, you know, when
yeah.
we get there?
And like, as part of that ongoing project, i.e. backing up to, for example, the retreats, where we're finding out, And I don't know what the actual quantities were, but we had the giant leak and we were, you know, drilling halfway into the earth to fix it. And there was a lot of water used over there that we subsequently have figured out that we didn't bill for.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to tie up all of those loose ends that go along with, it's something Eric can do. You know, I think you can walk yourself through a past project and see all of the things we were involved in and then kind of figure out what it was that we were and we weren't charging for, and then ultimately, even if we charged for it, did we really bill it, you know, which in this case appears that we didn't.
And there's no timesheet support. I haven't seen anything.
Yeah.
So it will be hard to quantify the amount of time that the staff worked on this project.
Yeah, and that is a process similar to what we do with paychecks to
mm-hmm.
allocate our utility time by water, mm-hmm. sewer, drainage, and or security.
Right.
There has to be a way
yeah.
for the person that goes out on that inspection
to track
right. that time.
While I'm working on these reconciliation, I'm closely working with Eric on these, and we both have agreed that this is not working. We have to really charge the time, so he knows that this, you know, we're making sure that things comes in as developer costs will be coded to fixed asset or CIP, construction in progress, and also the staff time needs to be fully loaded and book in a timesheet so that we can go back to the developer to rebuild them.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Okay, let's keep going.
Okay.
Thank you, Amelia. Cross-training front office staff. So the issues are the checks received were not deposited in a timely manner whenever the staffs were on vacation or sick leave. And the check credit card payments received were not reconciled to the bank in a timely manner. The third is fiscal year 23-24 audit preparation. We found that there were more return checks in the bank than recorded in the Tyler utility system. We only see that only one person is assigned or trained to deposit a check, and only one person can perform accounts payable function. So it's not effective use of our staff. So my recommendation is goal number one, to scan all checks into the bank and post them to the utility system within 2 business days. That's the rule. And then goal number two is to reconcile all cash receipts activity, whether it's credit card, ACH, and check to the bank within 5 business days. So every week it's reconciled. When we get to most company, when they want to turn their financial statement within 4 business days, they do reconciliation during the month and not 3 years later.
Right.
So what I'm proposing is, A, we need to have a standalone computer with a scanner and credit card terminal connected to that computer so that more than one staff can log in and scan the check. So when one person is sick, somebody else can go into that computer and just do these functions. Number B is cross-train another staff to have 2 people. We always want to have two people or maybe 3 to perform the same task so that we don't have, we have enough staff to process all our function and not get held up by somebody's sick, somebody's, you know, on holidays. That seems to be a problem. We're going to create a backup schedule for all front office staff function, ARAP. So if one person goes out, another person can jump in and work on the stuff. Same thing with cash receipts payment. Cash, check, credit card needs to be reconciled to the bank by the end of the day, Thursday. So if we set a goal that Thursday is what we need to do for the past 5 days, then that person will be reconciling everything and make sure that it clears the bank. And it's important because once we know that a utility payment comes in, we scan it into the bank, but if it doesn't clear the bank, we need to go back to the utility system to make sure that we remove that. So if you wait until a month or 2 months later, it's never gonna be reconciled. Also, we need to create a procedure manual step-by-step for all the front staff to use so they know. Okay. If one person goes out and I don't know how to process this, I have a step-by-step guy to do it. So this is my proposal. I haven't really make sure that things are done this way yet because I'm still working on the past audit, but I have this documents that I'm going to slowly move to this model.
Yeah, and one of the things we just spent like more than an hour. We've kind of established already at this point, just as the first move towards a reorganization, we've put payroll pretty much where it belongs in the accounting department. We do not have a payroll clerk intertwined with our HR resources, which is another whole thing we'll discuss at the meeting next week. The job descriptions as we go forward with this reorganization will start to be consistent with what we're talking about here. In other words, it's going to be in your job description if you work in front office accounting that you can do all this stuff. And it won't be in one job description, it'll be in multiple job descriptions, and it'll have provisions for all of this cross-training. So that on sick days we can account for a bounce check.
So the next one is fire hydrant meter deposit. Thank you. So
can you tell us what the fire hydrant meters are for?
It's really for construction or developer, and they come in and check out the little device called meter, and then they attach it to a fire hydrant. So when, let's say, they need water for that special event, we can account for and bill them for the water meter usage from the event. So one of the events that they had here is Spartan, which is the race.
Yeah.
And they need to fill the soil with all the water for the mud race. So they came in and asked for a meter, and then our operation staff went out to attach the meter to the fire hydrant. As they run the water, the meter will capture the water usage, and then we eventually bill them.
And for example, on the residences and the retreats, understand we do the same thing, and you I don't know, I think they might be finished now, but you would physically, if you wanted to see them, you can't. They're the meter is, there's
attached
the hydrant, then there's the meter, then there's the hose.
And hydrants and those are like this big.
Yeah, those stay in place, I mean, forever. I mean, as long as they're grading and throwing water around and they're using district water to do that, you know, it's an ongoing process. It's like that meter's checked out to them for a really extended period of time, and the billing on that should be systematic and should be monthly. It's not like, oh, we get to the end of this when they finish the retreats and you owe us $150,000 worth of water.
Right.
You know, so we're working on it.
Yep, so while we were doing the audit, there's a number in our financial statement that have not been touched for a number of years, and when we, and that's what we call balance sheets reconciliation. We looked at that number stay there, but did we bill them? Did we read the water meter? And all those things were not consistently done. There's also no reconciliation refund the deposit to the person who got the meter as well. So as a result, water usage is not recorded. And sometimes when I looked at the billing is done incorrectly too. I don't know who reviews it, but we've now, you know, strengthened out and making sure that monthly invoices were. Also, there's monthly invoice that we did bill, but they're not entered into the accounting system, so nobody know where the invoice is. So my recommendation for this is we're going to add fire hydrant reconciliation as part of the monthly accounting process. Refunds should be made within 30 to 90 days, and it should be done by an accountant after the balance sheet's reconciliation. Fire hydrant meter will be read on the first of every month for the past month activities. Related billing will be done on the first week of each month and reviewed by another person. Invoice will be recorded and generated within the accounting system. Update the procedure menu. I think part of the confusion is there were a number of turnover in the front desk. They didn't know what this is. So information were not taught to them as to how what to do with this. So nothing has been really consistently done. Cross-train all the front desk staff on this because there's only one person who knows what this is, and the other person, when somebody came in and asked for a water meter, they just give it to them. So that's not the process. Per hydrant meter agreement, a monthly charge of $50 for the meter. If it's not used but you have the meter, we should be charging them $50 per month, and that has not been done too. But now they all know now that there's a $50 fee charge, and we have gone back 21-22 and reconciled that account to what it should be. So that's will be done.
The other part of that that is an ongoing issue, not only as it relates to hydrants, but it relates to all these other deposit agreements. If this isn't followed on a month-by-month basis, and we're not collecting, essentially, or generating an invoice for water that's used in development on a month-by-month basis, you get past 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 months, and you've got, all of a sudden, you're handing somebody a bill for $125,000, and if you think they're just going to write you a check, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if this is under control at the end of a month, if there's a problem, we're going to know about it. And if there's not a payment, then we're going to know about it. And in the worst case scenario, you take off the meter,
mm-hmm.
and you shut down the fire hydrant. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, the next one is developer deposit accounting process. So the issues here are this deposit includes connection fees, security impact fee, and other inspection fees. And accounting staff from Robert Half, we've been recalculating what that lump sum receipts should be based on our limited knowledge of how utility operation should work. And Chris does the same thing, the accounting. So it creates a lot of confusion. What is that large amount of receipts that we got for? And that's one issue. Second issue is the developer deposit reconciliation and billing have not been done consistently for until 24-25.
Yeah.
Fixed asset in this process were not treated as fixed asset, and related charges that we charged to the developer were also not treated as non-operating revenue. And then the last one is we're supposed to give quarterly project status cost accounting report to the developer. That's not provided during those years as well. So how do you fix it? Number one, operation, meaning Eric's team, will now forward an itemized breakdown of the developer deposit along with the signed agreement to the front desk office staff, and they will enter that into the accounting system right away. Instead of us trying to figure out what that amount is, operation has a signed agreement. They have an Excel worksheets. Give that to us and we can just enter into system. It saves a lot of time between the accounting and operation. So number two, accountants should prepare monthly reconciliation for all these projects, and quarterly project status report should be forwarded to the developer, but only after meeting with the operation staff. That status report should be talked with Eric's team, and then we both agree that this is the status, and then forward that agreement or the status report to the developer. And then number three, we do have a district policy. Follow that. And per the policy, in the events that developer's initial deposit is expanded to below an agreed minimum balance and an additional fund are not deposited in the manner provided in the agreement, the district shall stop all development-related services. First, we need to establish what is that agreed minimum balance. My recommendation is just 10%. When you know you fall below that, then that's the trigger for accounting staff to tell Eric, okay, stop whatever you're doing, you know, until we get to collect additional amount for the contract. Of course, this process has never been done since 21-22. So when we're done with 3 years reconciliation, we'll know how much we should go back to each developer to collect the money if they're willing to pay.
And we can collect back that far?
Huh?
We can collect. There's a policy that we wrote about how far back we can collect.
And,
I'll give
and
that to you, Cecilia.
Let's figure out who they are and how much it is, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. All invoices, number five here, all invoices related to this should be entered as construction in progress and then transferred to fixed asset when the development is finished. All charges should also be treated as non-operating revenue separate from the revenue generated from the utility department. I'm starting to really see this financial as operation, profit and loss, and non-operation P&L, so we can see,
right,
you know, our charges to the utility, to our residents should be just from mainly operating the utility company. So any questions so far? Okay.
I have
one. Okay.
Yep. Go ahead, Richard.
I'm just going to say, boy, you do an awful lot of work. But anyways, I'm going to get into the weeds just a little bit, if you don't mind, about fire hydrant meters. I know at the equestrian center, I used to ride my bicycle up by there. That meter's been on there for eternity. And I'm curious, what do they pay for it? Are they just paying for the water? Because I get my bill, and I'm paying for a lot more than water.
So when you check out the meter, you have to pay $1,000 as a deposit.
Yeah.
And then every month, our utility staff should go out and read the meter usage, and you should be getting that bill monthly.
Okay.
But so you're right.
I pay for infrastructure.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. And I pay $5 for the water and $50 for infrastructure.
Yeah, we just kind of went through this, you know, in a couple of items back where the, you know, they're paying for the variable, but they're not paying for the fixed.
Yeah, there's a rate that they use. I did question that maybe we should look at that rate on an annual basis and increase that.
It would be, you would get the same result from doing it a couple of different ways. You could give them an inflated water rate that compensates for the overhead,
right.
Or you can go through the machination of billing them for both. Either way, we need to collect it.
Yeah,
there's no question. And like the equestrian center, I mean, and we haven't had the huge events of since the pandemic that we used to have. I mean, they have two water trucks over there.
Oh yeah,
they drive around in a circle, and all they do is keep the dust down with potable water. I mean, it's you know, it was so. Yeah, we get it. Yeah,
I seem to vaguely remember looking into this a while back, and it seemed like they were paying more than just the actual water they were using. But
they may be, but there's other people who are not paying at all.
Yeah.
So,
okay, I was just curious about that.
Yes. Okay.
You ready to have a comment too, Linda? Come on up. Okay.
It's mostly a comment. Excuse me.
Mostly a comment, but also a couple questions. This is fantastic. And we've not had this kind of in-depth review of our processes and what we're doing. And I can't express how much we need to thank you, because this is so important.
Yes.
The one thing that's going to come up probably is that we've had other accounting, finance directors, et cetera, come through here, and they say similar things, you know, well, this is not being done right, and this is not being done right. And then there are other things that they completely had no idea about what was going on. So the community has heard in the past few years, I can't go back much farther than 6.5 years since I started, but the community's heard, you know, some of this before. What I really like about what you're telling us is that you have solutions and suggestions to make, and we need to point that out, that yes, we've heard some of this stuff in the past, but we actually have somebody now who can tell us how we need to be doing this. So I think we need to emphasize that. So, and like I said, I really want to thank you for that. That's just fantastic.
Thank you.
One of the offshoots of this exercise, you know, in our traditional role, okay, we're supposed to be sitting up here approving contracts. And
right.
Hiring a general manager. That's basically, I mean, what it boils down to. But in the absence of one, okay, in spending the amount of time that, you know, as a board member I'm investing, i.e. in lieu of a general manager, I have some questions going forward as to what it is ultimately we're trying to accomplish here by hiring another one, that I'm asking, we're meeting and we're asking these questions. We're not saying that, you know, we're rebuilding our accounting system. Okay, that's nice. And we're not saying that we're working on audits. That's nice, but we're dealing with operational problems that maybe should be coming from a general manager. And you know, I'm not quite certain where this is, in my mind anyway. I'm only one of five. Where this is going to lead, but you know, it's more rocket science
than we thought.
To uncover the problem than it is to fix it. There are basic accounting principles and procedures and controls that we can implement to fix these problems once we understand what they are. And the fact that we didn't understand that we had a fire hydrant problem is not something that should be discovered at the board level.
Right.
Okay, it needs to be discovered at the operational level. And like I said, I haven't refined this in my head, but I you know, it's not like we five people sit up here that are dumber than a rock. I did this for 50 years. And I didn't do it. I wasn't doing it, and I'm not supposed to do it, and I don't do it as a board member. But I did it when I owned the joint, you know, and I did it the same way we're doing it now.
Right.
And I'm wrestling with that. I don't know where it's going.
Well, I think one of the things that's going to help us is having in-depth review of the job description of the general manager and the job qualifications of a general manager, or whatever title we want to go forward with in that position. So that's one of the reasons why I think it's so incredibly important to get started on these things. And to look at that, the description or the designations that I have read about staff working at the pleasure of the board, which says some things that we need to continue to look at. What exactly does that mean? You know, how much involvement are we going to have, and how much are we going? And again, I think it just really goes back to job description. We need somebody who job description and job qualifications, and I think we have to be very specific about that when the time comes. That would be my take on that. Okay?
Okay.
Can I follow up on line?
Sure, yeah. No need to get in line.
I just want to say I answered my own question. It's in the district code, in the water code, spelling out how the meters, hydrant meters are built. And supposedly they are paying the same monthly rate that I'm paying. It's calculated in there somehow. And although it's probably not very much. If they're using billions of gallons of water, that's a small portion of it.
I felt like without diving in, that number, it's a little bit low. Yeah. You should look at that.
And when you're trying to allocate, and I don't have the answer, but when you're trying to allocate overhead, fixed costs to relate to the variable cost, which is the actual water they're using, it's a lot more difficult than just establishing a rate for 3,000 connections that are in place on a day-by-day basis. Mm-hmm. I mean, the time and effort to manage that one account is vastly different than it is to manage your account and my account and the other 2,800 accounts that just sit there and turn on the faucet every day and get a bill. Yeah. I mean, we have the ability to isolate those costs. It's the other costs that I want to make sure we get right, you know.
No, I used to always wonder, do they actually get billed for that? And apparently they don't.
The answer is maybe.
Maybe.
It's not consistent.
Okay.
Yeah. I do see bills in there.
Oh, okay.
But they're not consistently done. You know, it should be a process that every month you're doing the same thing, but it's not. You know, so.
We're rolling on to the next topic.
Accounting process, and this should be a really big topic, but for now, I am seeing two things that are an issue. Balance sheets reconciliation were never performed monthly, and most people will ask what is balance sheets reconciliation, and just to use fire hydrant as an example. So fire hydrant, we receive all these deposits. Then someone in accounting should be looking at all the deposits that we receive and really look at, did we bill them? Where is the related water usage? Where's the invoice? Do we need to refund them? And not just let that deposit sit in there for 4 or 5 years and accumulate to be $33,000 because we only have 9 to 10 meters and shouldn't, the total maximum meter should be just $8,000 in that account. So that's part of the balance sheet's reconciliation. Don't just dump the deposit into that account and forget about it. You need to reconcile and look at it. Does it make sense that I still have $33,000 sitting in that account? No, because I only have 10 meters. Should never get up to 33. So those are the balance sheet's reconciliation that have never been done. Also, what I see as part of the accounting process is data entry is really done by two person. So for example, the fire hydrant, we receive the deposit and my front desk will create an Excel worksheet to say, I have $1,000, this is fire hydrant, and give it to the accountant will enter it into the accounting system. So I'm thinking that whenever you touch the same paper two times, you're creating a lot of work for us, right? So what I'm proposing as the recommendation is number one, miscellaneous deposit entry, like barcode fee, developer deposit, fire hydrant deposit, and others, should be just entered by the front desk into the accounting system directly. Now, I have a new person from Robert Half who knows GridPlane. She's creating that step-by-step guide as we speak. So I'm really happy that when she's done with that and we test it out for 25-24 year, and I'm going to push it into the front desk and go, from now on, you're doing this. We don't need to touch the paperwork twice, you know. And the time that you use to create that Excel worksheets, just throw it away and put it into the system. Then we're done. Then the accountant really can focus on doing the balance sheets reconciliation and not have to have 3,000 pieces of paper to enter into the system. That's not an accountant's job as a data entry. It should be the balance sheets reconciliation that should take the accountant's time. Payroll journal, same thing. My payroll person will create a lot of paperwork for the accountant to enter. I want that person to just go directly into our accounting system and enter that. So we don't have to touch that paper again 3-4 times. So I believe that number three, the above steps will free up accountant to prepare balance sheets reconciliation, which have never been done. And that needs to be a crucial monthly accounting process, because in the last 6 weeks, we only touched on a few accounts and it took us 6 weeks to reconcile those things that I mentioned from A to I or J. So that's and you know what, all the companies that I've been with, they have that process. It's not something that I reinvented. It's something that it's normally done in other accounting, well-run accounting department. So
one of the things that is critical to the establishment of everything we've been here, I've been through so far in this report, is, you know, we have bought Cassell, which is a new accounting system. And you know, we have on purpose delayed any discussion of implementing that thing. And I am inclined to be totally satisfied that we have done every bit of this before we convert. And, you know, because if we are going to do single entry, which I agree with completely, at the front end, okay, we have suffered, everything we're suffering through now is an accumulation of the deterioration of Great Plains as an accounting system. It was never, you know, anybody's favorite in the public world to use, and we whittled ourselves down to the one person that we had internally that could make it work was Darlene, and once Darlene left, it was a slow deterioration of multiple entries for payables and receivables. Everything we were doing offered an opportunity to make a keystroke error at least twice, sometimes three times.
Did you mean Darlene or Debbie?
Darlene. Well, it started with Debbie. But Darlene was the architect that as it was never fully it was never fully the proper solution for the accounting that we do in the district, and which was evident by the fact that there were virtually no other people using it. And as we went forward in using it in the public sector in as a district, and as we went forward, we started to compensate for that, and we started to do multiple entries of payables and receivables, and or not, in some cases, not do the entries at all. So the mess that we're untangling now is accumulation of all these years of problems with the system that we want to be reconciled before we start to put, or to avoid putting garbage into the new system, okay? Or to wind up with, you know, a Cadillac that we didn't get an owner's manual with, okay? Or it's not consistent with what we want to use it for. So I think we're doing that. We're going to get this stuff fixed before we load a new machine, okay? So
I like your analogy with the Cadillac.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that for my next process. We're going to go into IRC allocation. So what is that? IRC allocation, I actually don't know what is IRC stand for, but it's a rates that we use and calculate it during budget process to allocate our expenses to other funds.
Yeah, and their expenses.
Other fund and other expenses. There are two types of allocation. The first one is balance sheets allocation, and the second one is revenue and expenses allocation. Now, going back to balance sheets reconciliation, just to give you an example of what exactly is that, is all checks were disbursed in the administration fund. And then they need to be transferred back to the corresponding fund, which is water, sewage, drainage, and security, based on the objective of the expenses. So if we cut a check from the administration payment to Cal Waste, this payment and related expenses needs to be transferred back to solid waste. And that's how RSC rate is used in certain instances to allocate these costs over. And then there's also a revenue expenses allocation. What that means is my salary or Amelia's salary or the board members' expenses, all those are sitting in the administration fund, but they are all beneficial for all the funds. So we use the rates, IRC, to allocate that expenses across all the fund. So the balance sheets allocation and revenue expenses allocation are two different things. Now the issue that we have is, if you go back to the issue, is we need to transfer the payment to Cal Waste, and we manually do an adjustment, deducting this check amount from the bank account of the admin fund, and then puts it back into the solid waste fake bank account. And then this process is very cumbersome, because during the bank rec process, this is the process that you look at all your expenses from your checking account and compare it to the bank statement to make sure that, yep, I did cut all these checks, or the bank actually has administration fee, I need to put it back into my side. This is to assure that we have accounted for all the transactions, one of the key steps that we have to do as part of the month end. When we have 500,000 that we discover in the audit, that amount, it's accumulation of all the expenses, not just one 500K. That was deducted from the bank account. And when the bank rec process was done in 2019, it's just a transfer, it's not an actual check. But when the PUN group comes in, because of our very complicated, muddy process, the PUN group saw these series of expenses and thought these are expenses. But it's from 2019, it should have cleared the bank. those must be a mistake. So they adjusted everything, but they incorrectly adjusted $1 million out, leaving our current account $500K short. So I've added back all those checks in because those don't really exist. But the problem is in our accounting process is when we do these IRC allocation, we take the deduction off from the administration bank account, which caused a lot of confusion. We're not looking at just one transaction. It's many, many transactions. So over time, you can't really tell which one is fake, which one is real. And that's why the PUN group makes a mistake, because there's so many checking accounts, so many of these deductions that cause a problem. Now, as described in step two, of the revenue and expenses, the current allocation is done monthly and it involves a very manual process, which I'll describe in detail fashion later on. If you can turn to the next page.
Yes, okay.
Now, you talked about a Cadillac, which should never have manual use according to the manual. Great Plains is actually a great software, but we've never turned on that feature called GP Interfund Management. When you cut a check from the administration fund, you can set up in the system to automatically transfer the expenses, the actual cost of paying for the cow waste to the solid waste automatically. Right now, we have to do a lot of Excel work calculation to put that cost over to the other side. You don't need to do that. The system automatically does it for you. And I already talked to Great Plains about it. They know how to set it up. And I've used it in other accounting system. They all have this feature when you use fund accounting. So we're not using the Cadillac to the full extent. And that will save us a lot of time and problem when we take our accounting equation into an Excel worksheet. And we're not talking about one transaction. We're talking about the whole month of transaction, which can create a big Excel worksheets that open for errors. So I have actually started doing that process with the team using an account called Due to Due From. Usually when you look at these, the system will automatically set up an account called Due to Due From. And if you don't mind scrolling down a little bit.
There we go.
Just to give you an example, when a check is cut under administration fund for bank account, I have a negative $3,000 there. And that's in the notes, check issue from admin account. But we know that $3,000 really belongs to solid waste, so that cow waste expenses should really go into the solid waste fund. So that should be that. But the thing is, the $3,000 that we disperse in a mini administration fund needs to be paid back by solid waste fund, either in the investment account or, you know, their fake bank account. So the interfund module, if we turn on Great Plains correctly, will automatically generate that red portion for us. So if you look at the red portion, there's a due from solid waste from the administration fund that says, hey, solid waste, you need to pay me back $3,000. And if you pay me $3,000 in the administration fund column, I have a negative $3,000 and a positive $3,000. The cost is now allocated on a balance sheets level, and also the expenses are now sitting in the right fund. This is automatic from Great Plains. We don't have to do manual adjustment. So, and we don't have to actually cut the check directly from the, you know, we don't have to do that allocation directly from the bank account, which is causing a lot of problem in the past. It's totally segregated at the month end. And under the solid waste fund, you see a negative $3,000 because solid waste needs to pay back administration fund. At month end, at each accounting month end, we take that $3,000 and we take it out from the investment account. And that will zero out the due from. It's a very, again, this is a process that most companies use. It's not, I didn't invent it. It's Great Plains has that because they know most accounting firm needs to do that. And especially when you go to a real estate company, they have real estate trusts. You know, right. One admin corporate will cut all the checks and all the properties will get spread out with their costs. This feature is mostly widely used in another accounting system.
So I believe we pay Great Plains a monthly fee.
Is this already included in the monthly fee that we're paying them to turn this module on, or would there be an additional cost?
Yeah, because we do this midway, and the system has never been turned on, they just need to turn it on for us and set it up. I've already set up those do from account in the accounting system. They just need to link certain things to make it work. So again, you have a Cadillac here, but it's never turned on, but instead we use massive amount of Excel worksheets to do the calculation when it's not necessary.
Where are they as a company? Are they supporting everything, or are they going away, or what is the deal with them?
Great Plains end of life is 2029, I believe.
Okay.
So they're still around, but I think by 27 we should find another company.
Well,
and
yeah,
make that switch.
We've had all these discussions about Cassell.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that as we get closer, what we do? We contracted. We own that now. Did we buy that? Did we pay that check? What did we do?
I don't believe we ever paid the check. I think we signed the contract, but I don't know if we've.
You mean Cassell?
Cassell.
Yeah.
Have we paid him? I don't know.
I don't know.
Let's find that out.
Yes, so. So that's the balance sheet's allocation. Now, number three, we have revenue and expenses allocation also. That module is actually, if you turn to the next page.
Okay, there you go.
So this screenshot here, I just want to show you the menu allocation done in Excel. So they prepare a big long Excel worksheets of all the expenses that they need to allocate, and under the breakdown account column you see the percentage. That's kind of like the IRC allocation. They take one expense account, which is sitting in the yellow column, and then they allocate it, and then I book it into the system. Now the problem is, this is a simple Excel allocation for one account. We have a lot of accounts, so that allocation process on a monthly basis is not very straightforward. It's difficult to enter that amount of transaction into the Great Plains. Now my solution is, if you go down to the next half of the page, this is a screenshot of Great Plains, and inside there's a fixed allocation module. It's in there, you can use it. This is my screenshot of my thing. Of my Great Plains sign-on, and if you go down a little bit, Amelia, please. And it shows you that you can actually set, okay, I want this account to be allocated as a percentage, just enter the percentage, and the system will automatically do it for you. And you can program it. So why are we not using it? Why are we not using it? I don't know. So I just want to say that Great Plains is not that bad. It's been around for a long time, but we haven't used the Cadillac to the full extent. So.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I'm gonna try to turn it on as I have a little bit more breathing room. All these recommendations I'm recommending, but I don't have the time to all implement all of them. My focus is still the next two audits, get it to the point that we can submit everything to the auditors, then I'll make sure I go back to this and then make sure that everything is implemented in the future. So.
And you really, and that makes sense. I mean, if we have, and it's something you can work with Eric on in the interim, I mean, if we have people that owe us significant amounts of money, for hydrants or something else, then let's chase that money.
Yeah.
But let him chase it. I mean, if we know what the money is, let him chase it. We'll fix it later.
Mm-hmm. In fact, when I'm working with these balance sheets reconciliation, he's in the room with us going through each account because I don't have the history.
Right.
He
right.
does. So he's looking at our numbers and letting me know where can I find the source of how to reconcile these history from 2014. And he knows, how much we can get back from that person, or maybe we shouldn't ask that person because he's not going to pay. He's giving me that status, and I go through the same schedule with you too.
Okay.
That's it.
That's all you've done, really?
Yeah. Well, there, but there is, I mean, there's the rest of the agenda still.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, sure.
But moving right on, are we up to the tax
rolls? We are, because we already talked about the audit update, okay. So the delinquent accounts.
Item five. Is this you? Are you doing this?
Okay, I can.
Or you can.
We've been working on it together.
Okay. So as of July, we have total collected pay in full $71,000. And payment plan, it's $50,000 with 24 account. The remaining to be worked on is 56 and about $41,000.
So for the board meeting next week, we will have a total list of the accounts, because we're actively looking to be paid or enter payment agreements. That's our goal on all of the past due accounts. I think it's important to mention that we only looked at accounts that were more than $1,000 past due.
Right.
And we'll have the complete list at the July meeting of those accounts that we wish to add to the Sacramento County tax roll for collection, and it's due the first part of August. I'm hopeful that by the time we get to the first part of August, we only have a handful to add to that program. And we're finding that these folks are deceased. There's nobody in the home, so some of them we're going to send over and then let it wash itself out when the house is sold.
Yeah, if just. For clarification, if it gets on Teeter, we get paid in front, not immediately, but we get paid.
Yeah, it's like, I want to say it's a year later.
Yeah, and that property can't close again.
Exactly.
Until the county takes it, and they determine on a year. We've been, back when the pandemic hit and everything, we had some concerns that they were going to abandon Teeter, because the delinquencies were getting out of control. But they welcome the opportunity to do this, because they charge extraordinary amounts of money to the follow-on buyer, and they won't allow that property to close until they collect the money. So good deal for them, good deal for us.
Yes.
Okay. Is that all we got on that one?
That's all. I would like the committee's recommendation to take that to the board next week.
Yes, that's fine. And I have no more comments.
Okay.
4 hours later.
Would you like to adjourn the meeting, sir?
Yes, I would.
At 11:35.
Okay.